Malachim Beis, Parachov Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. We are now approximately 23 years away from the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is the, shall we say, low point, but also the climax of Sefer Malachim, and that of the entire narrative that we've been doing through Sefer Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Malachim Aleph, and now Malachim Beis. From here on in, it will be the separate Nevuos of many different Nevi'im during different periods, till we get to Ksubim, when we see a little bit more of the post-Churban Jewish world, a little bit, in Esther and Ezra and Nehemiah. And the first of the terrible kings who is going to lead us down the path to the end of Malchus Yehuda, Ben Esrim, V'shalosh Shana Yehoachaz B'molcho. So Yehoachaz, Yehoachaz, based on the way that it's pronounced in the Trup, was 23 years old when he became king. He was the son of Yoshiyahu, but not the eldest son of Yoshiyahu. But he was very popular among the people, particularly the people who did not want the reforms Yoshiyahu had made and wanted to return to the days of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry. So they chose Yehoahaz as the new king, and they anointed him to establish succession because he was not the next in line and because he did not really have the right to become king. That's why it said in the previous pasuk, "Vayikach am ha'aretz es Yehoachaz." It shouldn't have been up to the people to do it. It should have been the eldest who was going to become king. But they took him, some of the Midrashim say, by force of the will of his brothers, against the will of his brothers. And the other righteous men of the generation did not approve of this. And when you pick an illegitimate king to be the king, Ushlosha chadashim malach b'Yerushalayim, he is only going to rule for 3 months in Yerushalayim. Meshem imo Chamutal bas Yirmiyahu milivna. And the name of his mother was Chamutal, the daughter of Yirmiyahu, from Livna. Vayas lamed beis, vayas harab, b'nei Hashem, k'chol asher osu avosav. And he did that which was wicked. He did that which was evil in the eyes of God, just as his forefathers had done. This is the true descendant of Achaz, the father of Chizkiyahu, and Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu, who was such an incredible evil person. In Divrei Hayamim, we learn that the sons of Yoshiyahu are Yochanan was the eldest, then Yehoyakim, then Tzidkiah, and then Shalom. The name Yehoachaz is not found, but Yirmiyahu identifies Shalom, the youngest, as being Yehoachaz, who is never going to come back once his 3 months are up. He's not going to die, thus ending his reign. He is going to be captured and imprisoned, thus ending his reign. And so, he is not going to last very long. Tzidkiyahu is going to be an interesting case, and we'll talk about him when we get to him, the exact chronology of the sons and who was older and how they were is a little questionable. Some say that Yehoachaz might have been Yochanan the eldest from Divrei Hayamim, so it's a little bit impossible to know. But we do know what happened to him, and we do know how little time he lasted. The last four kings of Yehuda are going to be crippled by the power first of Mitzrayim and then of Bavel. Military defeat, being a vassal, being humiliated, being deported, siege, torture, and destruction. All of that is what's coming. There's nothing positive left for the remainder of the way. And the sequences begin with Mitzrayim being in the lead for first Yehoachaz and then the Yehoyakim that we're going to see next. And then Bavel is going to take the lead, and Yehoyachin and Tzidkiah are going to be the two kings who suffer under them. Each one first has a king who lasts 3 months and then has a king that lasts 11 years. Yehoachaz was 3 months, followed by Yehoyakim 11 years. Then Yehoyachin was 3 months, followed by Tzidkiah 11 years. So it's easy to mix them up because the timing seems to work out this way. So some speculate about Yehoachaz that maybe he held pro-Babylonian anti-Egyptian views, which is why the Egyptians are going to decide to truss him up and throw him in the trunk of the car and take him away. This was the same anti-Egyptian policy that had caused the death of Yoshiyahu. So Pharaoh Necho is going to have very little patience for a king of Yehuda who is willing to antagonize him. When Pharaoh Necho returned from war, based on Babylonian sources, this is 609 before the Common Era, which is the same time period we give to the death of Yoshiyahu, he put through a series of measures to show how he could dominate Yehuda. Yehoachaz is going to be replaced with his older brother, usually identified as Eliakim, Yoachaz is going to be exiled after only 3 months. Necho, renames Eliakim Yehoyakim somehow as being more favorably disposed to the Egyptians. And Necho is going to impose, as we're going to see in the Psukim, a terrible, crushing financial obligation, a tribute from the new king of Yehuda to Egypt, one that we can't pay. The upper classes are going to suffer a great deal. And when we learn Echa inside and we learn the Psukim, we see that Malcheha Vesoreha, the concept of Yihiyu Lomas, they're going to be paying tribute to other nations, is intentional because the leaders got us into this pickle. The fact that it's the Am Ha'aretz, identified not as the ignorant but as the leaders of the land, who sold us out and put Yehoahaz on the throne, means that they deserve to suffer. And Yirmiyahu, which we'll see when we learn him inside, blames the leadership cadre of Malchus Yehuda of Klal Yisrael for not leading the people properly, not rebuking us when we did wrong, and sometimes joining in the terrible behavior as well.